The second scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 14, verses 2 through 33, and it's long. And he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered him a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for them and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl, who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May the Lord bless this reading to us and be with us always.
Thank you, Deb. Boy, that was a lot to take in. It was a lot of that. I'm not sure what Dave had intended I didn't discuss this with Dave because I didn't want to bother him, for one. I was asked to speak in his place on Friday. Not that I could ever take his place, but... So I looked at the scripture, and I kind of looked at what he had entitled it, Renew Your Strength and Soar. And I see where he got that from the book of Isaiah, the scripture. I'd like to reread this because I think it has some importance, but I want you to understand the setting that Isaiah had, if you don't know the story. Israel had been exiled from their homeland and been taken out into other parts of the countryside, not being allowed to be there. Only a few were left behind. The people had been in such rebellion against God that God had to bring some punishment against his people so that they would know that they needed to do the right things. And there was a remnant of people who still followed the ways of God. And this is who Isaiah was speaking to. And sometimes we lose our way. Sometimes we don't always look at the right things. We don't trust God. And I think what Isaiah was saying is very important. So I want to share this again with you. I took a different version than the NIV. I used the New Living Testament. So it's a little bit different wording, but the same meaning. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. That's important. You know, when we're going through hard times, it's easy to blame God. But it's not so easy to trust God. Sometimes it deals with our finances, that we have to trust God because we've pledged an amount that maybe we don't have. But God provides when we trust Him. And I've seen it time and time again in Donna and I's life, when we didn't know where things were going to come from, but we just trusted God. And you know what? He always came through for us in ways that we couldn't even fathom that He came through. Let me read on here. He says, they will soar high, those who trust, by the way, will soar high on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not faint. Isaiah really wanted to remind the Israelites of the fact that God hasn't abandoned them, even though they felt abandoned. They wondered why a foreign country came in, invaded them, and hauled them off to another place. It must have been terrible. It must have been terrible to see your country ravaged. I think if that happened here, if another country came in and invaded us and put us out into other places, took away our homes, took away our livelihoods, took away all the things that we felt comfortable with, that would be difficult to trust God and to think, how does this work, God? But Isaiah gives us encouragement to trust God, to fellowship with God, to put it in God's hands. And I think that that's a very important part. And then again, we move to the New Testament. I got to tell you a little thing about trust. And I was thinking about this. I was talking to Don, and I was thinking, what am I going to say? I don't know what to say sometimes, although I have lots of words that I can say. I'm never short on that. But I was thinking, I want to add a little humor in. So I thought, what's a humorous thing that I can talk about? And you know what I came up with? I thought, talking about trust, when I was a kid, I used to love cartoons on Saturday morning. That was pretty much the only time that we got to watch television all day. The rest of the time we got to watch a little television after the news was over, and then we went to bed. But I remember watching the Roadrunner. And that darn Roadrunner, he never got fouled up by Wile E. C. Coyote. Wile E. C. Coyote would hatch these plans against him and all kinds of things, and it would just work out that none of those stopped him from going down the road. I think about that. God does the same thing for us. He provides a way. He provides a way. And if you want to think about it, think about that Roadrunner that got away from Wile E. C. Coyote and didn't get eaten by him with the plans that were hatched against him. Satan does that to us. He hatches plans against us and wants to make us fail. Make us think that God isn't with us, that God isn't for us. But that's a lie. It is a lie. So to go into the scripture, we first see Herod has killed John the Baptist. And he's going, who is this Jesus guy? Is he, is he the ghost? Is he the ghost of John the Baptist? He wasn't sure. But here, I think the story kind of tells you that even kings kind of honor people with what they want. The king, this evil king, I think he was evil, honored this young lady in his court because she had pleased him. So he gave her John the Baptist's head. That's kind of a yucky thing. I don't think I'd be asking for that, but he honored her. But then Jesus goes on, and he talks about we hear the story about the feeding the 5,000. Now, it's an interesting thing. In different accounts of the Gospels, we see this same story played out, but we get a little more detail in some of the other Gospels that talk about, Jesus says, the apostles come to him and say, hey, these people haven't eaten in a long time. They've been listening to you. They've been going through this healing service that you've been healing them. We should send them away, let them get some food, and they can come back later. And Jesus says, why do we got to send them away? Let's feed them. And the first response, and not in this gospel, but in other gospels, talks about, hey, we only got this much money, Jesus. We can't buy dinner for all these people. And Jesus says, well, what do you got? And they said, well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. But we can't feed 5,000 people with this. And Jesus says, all right, leave it to me. We can do that because God can work miracles. And what does he do? He just asks God to bless it. And you know what? God honored him. And he took those loaves and fish, and he split them up, and he had the disciples distribute them. And not only did they feed the people until they were full and satisfied, but there was leftovers. 12 baskets of leftovers. God can provide where we don't think there is a way to provide in all things. We just don't always see the way to believe it. But going back to Isaiah, you gotta put your trust in God. You gotta have Him as your solid ground to stand upon, and nothing can take that away. I kind of went through and made a few points that I want to leave you with. First point is, when things aren't going quite right in your life, when things don't seem to be adding up, when you don't got enough money to pay your bills, let alone give a tithe to the church, take inventory. Take inventory of what you do have and give thanks for it like God did. He took inventory. That was his example for us. Take inventory of what we got. What do we got? We got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yeah, it doesn't seem like enough, but God will make it enough. Take inventory of what you do have. Because when you start counting what you do have, what God has given you, I call it counting your blessings, many others do too, you begin to see that God has already richly given to you. And He will continue to give to you. He is God. He created the universe. He holds the stars in His hands. He can take after your needs and take care of them. He knows what they are, even when you don't know how to ask for them. Secondly, give thanks for those things that God has blessed you with. Be thankful. It is so important to be thankful, even when it doesn't seem like you have something to be thankful about. Because God is blessing us all. Number three, trust God will provide for your need. You know, many of you who know me know that I suffer with chronic pain. And I don't like to bring it up, but I'm going to bring it up. It sometimes doesn't feel like God knows what's going on with me, because he hasn't taken the pain away from me. And for many years, I was kind of angry with God about that. But then I started to see, because I was flat on my back looking up at God, and I said, God, I don't know what you got a plan here in this, but I know that you are going to provide for my needs. And you know what? He has. He's given me peace about that. And I think He can give peace to you too, if you just trust in Him. The last point I want to give you is pass those blessings on to others. Share some of what you have, whether that is sharing with money, sharing with food, sharing with just lifting someone up, saying a kind word. Share with others from the blessings that you have been given. Because I think if any of you look at your life, even if it's really not going real great, you can see how God has blessed you in some way. Share that with others. Tell them about what Jesus can do for them. I'm all about evangelism. I'm all about telling people about Jesus. But I think sometimes that we don't feel like we have the right words to say. And when we don't, I like to remember what St. Francis of Assisi said. Share the gospel daily, and if you must, use words. Our life is our witness. You may not have much, but if you have Jesus, you got all you need. Because He will provide. And we talk about, in our disciple class, we've talked about the worst case scenario. That worst case scenario is many times death. But the gospel says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So death doesn't have a sting anymore. Share that message with people who don't have hope. And I thank you for putting up with me instead of Dave. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for all that you have given us. Thank you for those blessings that we sometimes don't count. We don't see them because all we see is what we want or what we think we need. Let us see with new eyes and with a new heart and a new mind the things that you have for us, what you've given to us, and help us to share that with others, whether it's with our time, with our worship, with our praise, with our tithes, with our monies, or just with kind words. Help us to know that you are there with us in the midst of the storm. And let us trust you, Lord. not be foolish like Peter was and take our eyes off of you. Let us lift up our eyes and look to you, for you will provide in our moments of need. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.